Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Nun Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The shiur today will begin from the very bottom of Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. Before we learn the Gemara, let us take advantage of one of the features of the Gemara marking system, the Shas Ozer, which is the cornerstone of Gemara markings, and that is the topic headings and structural notes that appear in the outside margin. In this case, if you look in the outside margin, you will notice at the bottom of Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, we have written Nosei / Mivneh, where we have a note that combines the topic, the Nosei, with the Mivneh, the structural note. In the upcoming Gemara, we will be featuring Roman numerals 1 and 2. These are visible on the outside, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see a Roman numeral number 1, an indication. When you have 1, of course, you have to find a number 2. In this case, on Nun Ches Omid Aleph, there will appear about halfway down the page a Roman numeral number 2. Accompanying this, we also have diamonds around the name Amemar. And we've written in our note, Shnei Lushonos, two versions of Amemar within Amemar. Be'inyan Beitzei Trefa. We'll be discussing the issue of eggs that come from a chicken that might be a trefa. The first Lushon, the Roman numeral number 1, makes a distinction between, that is, within Amemar, a distinction is made between Shichala Kama, the first batch of eggs, the first group of eggs, and Mikan V'Elech, and what happens afterwards. We will be speaking about those eggs that started forming when the chicken was still not a trefa. Those eggs that were in the mother, in the hen, when the hen became a trefa. And then we will discuss those eggs that are produced after she had already become a trefa. And we'll be speaking about those that are a result of having been mated with a male a chicken, a rooster. The second Lashon of Amemar will be discussing an issue of eggs coming from a Suffolk trefa, a chicken that we're not sure of whether it is in fact a trefa at all. Now, the reason why in the second Lashon the issue of Suffolk trefa comes up, and in the first Lashon we're dealing with a chicken that is definitely a trefa, this is dependent on, do you say, like we saw at the very end of our previous shiur, Rav Acha made a comment that Halacha, trefa, yoledes, umeshabachas, that a trefa, a chicken, or an animal, a creature that is already a trefa, is it capable of continued procreation? Rav Acha, at the end of our previous year, said that, in fact, a trefa is capable of continued procreation. We will see in the second Lashon, if you can scroll ahead to Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph, you will notice that the line above where the Roman numeral number 2 appears, there's a comment that leads into the second Lashon, namely, Ravina lo savar lo kidrav acho bar Yankiv. We will see that Ravina does not subscribe to Rav Acho's approach, and rather he will hold that something that is definitely a trefa is not capable of any further procreation. As we now turn to the Gemara itself, at the bottom of Nun Zayim and Beis, we begin Omar Amemar, Hani Bei de Trefa. Eggs that come from a chicken that is a trefa. Shichala Kamo Asira. the first batch of eggs. That those are the eggs that are in the hen when it became a trefah. In other words, their initial formation was prior to the hen's becoming a trefah. So those are what the shichol hakama are, those eggs that are in the hen when it becomes a trefah. Amemar says asira, they are forbidden. The reason for that is a concept called ubar yerech imahu. The offspring or the embryo, when it's in the mother, is considered like a limb of the mother. And as the mother itself became a trefa, so too all her limbs, including the eggs inside, become trefa. Mikan v'elech, these are eggs that develop in the mother after the mother was already a trefa. Ze, havile ze veze goreim umuter. Those eggs that eventually will hatch into chicks are the function of two causes, namely two factors that are responsible for those chicks that eventually hatch from those eggs. And once again, we're talking about eggs that started to develop after the mother was already a trefa. What are the two forces, the two gormim, the two causes? Well, you've got the hen, which is a negative force. She's a trefa. But you have the rooster that mated with this hen, and there is nothing wrong with him. Therefore, the eggs are a product of two gormim, ze veze goreim. And therefore, Amemar is telling you muter. Since you have two causing forces, and one of them is a positive and allowed, a mutter force, the product is rendered or labeled mutter, namely allowed. Esfe Rav Ashi Lamemar. We have a Tanaic source that's posed as a challenge or a kasha on Amemar. It says Vishavin Bebasis Trefa. Vishavin means those that had disagreed, namely Rav Eliezer and the Rabbanan, that argue regarding the offspring of an animal, they will agree, bebeitzas trefa she'asura b'nei she'godlo be'isur, that the beitza from a trefa is asur because it grew in a prohibited way. We might want to add now that this expression she'godlo be'isur means they developed or they increased be'isur. They godlo be'isur, we could say specifically, is they came into being after the mother was a trefa. And here you see agreement that which came into being after the mother was a trefa is usur. Amemar had said that which develops after the mother was already a trefa is mutter, based on zev ze gorim, because you have two causing factors of two causative factors, one of them being mutter. Here we have a seemingly similar situation where you've got the rooster as a mutter factor, the hen as an usser factor, and yet this source says it's usser. The Gemara answers, Hasam bidesafno me'ara. Those are eggs that have only one cause, namely, those are the eggs that have not been fertilized. They were not the result of a mating with a rooster. So since there's only one cause, and the cause happens to be a hen that had become a trefa, the eggs are also forbidden. Question: Valishni le b'shichal kamo. Why didn't Amemar answer that the source that was just featured, where it says that the beitzim are usur? We're talking about the first batch, namely those eggs that were in the hen when it became a trefa. So he answers why he didn't use that answer. Im kain, the loshon, the expression godla gomra miboyale, it should have used gomra beiser. The fact that it says godla indicates that we're not talking about the shichala kama, but something that developed after the mother had already become a trefa. Had it been speaking about eggs that were in there when the mother became a trefa, then the more appropriate loshon expression would have been gomra, simply completed be'isr, namely they began when the mother was still mutter. Ela ha disnan. What about the following Tanaic source? How are we going to explain the following Tanaic source? Vlad trefa, the offspring of a trefa. Rabbi Elazar Omer lo yikrav legavi mizbeach. When it comes to sacrifices, so don't offer it as a sacrifice, the vlad of a trefa. And Rabbi Yeshua Omer yikrav. Rabbi Yeshua says you can be makrivit. B'mai komiflegi. What is the point of machlokes? Now Rashi points out, since we said that the case of Beitzas Trefa, that everyone will agree, is usur, that is where there was one goreim. Namely, that was the case of Safna Me'ara. We could infer that if you see a machlokes, so it must have been a case where it was Nitrefa Ulebasof Ibra. Namely, first the mother became a trefa, and then it became pregnant. Well, if that's the case, then we have a case of ze veze goreim. And if that's the case, we have a source indicating that ze veze goreim is a machlokes. And if you were to think that Ameimar was saying something that is accepted, the divrei hakol, then that would be coming into question. So, continuing in the Gemara asks, "B'mai komifligi?" What's the point of argument? Once again, just to review the main point here, if we assume, like Ameimar said, that when you have one goreim, the case of Safna Me'ara, which is a case where the eggs developed in a hen after it had become a trefa, and they're referring to unfertilized eggs that hens lay often, usually. These are the kind of eggs you'll find in supermarkets. Those are unfertilized eggs, and there's only one goreim. So that, Ameimar will agree, is forbidden, like the Tanaic source indicated. In this source, where we have a controversy, it must be that it's not a case of one goreim, a cause of iser, but rather there must be a case of two goreims. And here the Gemara answers, after you're asking, b'mai komiflig, what's the point of machlokes? So we explain, b'shenitrefa ulubasof ibra. This is a case of it having first become a trefa, the mother first became a trefa, and then it became pregnant. And the cause of the pregnancy was, in addition to the mother who's a trefa, we had a male animal that is mutter. Rebbe Elazar Savar, Zev is a goreim usur. Rebbe Elazar will hold that when you have two causing factors, even though one of them is a mutter, is an acceptable factor, the offspring is usur. Rebbe Yeshua Savar, Zev is a goreim mutter. And Rebbe Yeshua will hold that where you have two causing factors, responsible for the offspring, and one of them is a mutter factor, then the offspring is mutter. What we've then said is that what Ameimar had mentioned on the second line from the top, that Zev is a goreim is mutter, would in fact be in accordance with what Rabbi Yeshua says. The Gemara asks, "E hachi, if we're talking about a case of Zev is a goreim, then Ademiflegi legavoa liflegu lehedyo." Instead of arguing about is something mutter as a korban or not, which was the subject of this Tanaic source that we saw just above in the frame, where the issue was whether you makrivit legabi mizbeach or not, which means offering it on the altar. So instead of arguing about altars and permissibility for sacrificial purposes, liflegu lehetyo, why not state this controversy between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua regarding a hedyot? Is it mutter for a commoner to eat such an offspring? An offspring that's the result of two causative factors. So why does it feature the case of the Mizbeach? Lehodiach ha-koychei de Rabbi Yeshua. The reason it featured Mizbeach is to show us how far Rabbi Yeshua goes, dafiu legovoa namishari. That even regarding the higher standard that's generally required for sacrifices, even so, Rabbi Yeshua will say it's mutter. That's why there was an advantage in teaching the machlokas concerning sacrificial issues. Frek the Gemara. Gemara asks, "Valiflegu lehedyot v'odiacha koychay Rebbe Elazar, dafilu lehedyot nami osir." Why not state the machlokas between Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yeshua regarding kashrus in the kitchen? Meaning, is it mutter for a commoner to eat it? Regardless of sacrificial considerations, state it regarding: is it mutter for commoners? And if you were to say that, we would then show you how far Rebbe Eliezer is going in saying that it's forbidden. It's forbidden not only for the heavenly purpose, the higher standard, but even for commoners. And with that, we would be showing you how extensive Rebbe Eliezer's opinion is, that even lehedyot, even for a commoner, it's forbidden. So why did the source teach specifically the case of sacrifices? Answer, koyach dehetera odif lei. To show us the strength of leniency is of greater interest to the Tana. And to show us the extent of leniency, we accomplish that by featuring a case of sacrifices and showing us how far Rabbi Yeshua goes in saying that even though it's the high standard of sacrifices, when it comes to Zev Ezeh Goreim, it's mutter even for sacrificial purposes. This is a Tanaic source. We saw this something very similar to this on the third line from the top where it said v'shavin v'beitzas treifa. Here the word is umodim. In other words, there's agreement when it comes to v'beitzas treifa she'asura. The egg that comes from a treifa is asur. Where is their agreement? In other words, if it's a case of a chicken that had already become a treifa, and there's a male, there's a rooster in the picture, that would be a case of Zev Ezeh Goreim, and we saw that is a controversy, not agreement. So where is their agreement? Answer, B'desafno me'ara, d'chad goreim hu, where the hen produces unfertilized egg, lays unfertilized eggs. That's called safno me'ara, literally making itself hot by rubbing on the ground, but that idea, or that's what's involved in enabling the hen to continue laying eggs, even if they're not fertilized. So we say that in such a case, where it's safna me'ara, there's only one cause, and it's coming from you having a hen that's already a treifa laying eggs. Those eggs are forbidden, because it's only one goreim, and it's a goreim, the causative factor, namely the mother, and there is no male chicken in the picture. Therefore, it's forbidden. Rav Acha Savar Lo Kerav Acha Bar Yankiv Umasni Lo Lida'ameimar Kida Amoron. Rav Acha's version of our discussion is in accordance to Rav Acha Bar Yankiv. He was found at the bottom of Nun Zayin Beis. We have a little arrow to the right-hand side of the Gemara text indicating Nun Zayin Beis. And if you turn to Nun Zayin Beis, if you scroll back to that daf, that omid, you'll see at the bottom line also an arrow indicating Nun Ches Amid Aleph. That's where Rav Acha Bar Yankiv appeared. And he said that Trefa Yoledes. So Rav Acha subscribes to that concept, the Trefa Yoledes. An animal, a mother, a female that's already a treifa, she still is capable of reproduction. So Rav Acha holds like Rav Acha Bianca with two different rabbonim, and umasni lo ledameimar kidamoran, and he features Ameimar, who was in the diamond that we saw at the bottom of Nun Zayin Omid Beis. He teaches Ameimar as we just did. In other words, all of Ameimar's Esberim explanations for the Tanaic sources that we saw above, he did thusly. Now, Ravina lo savar lo k'Rav Acha bar Yankiv. Ravina disagrees with Rav Acha, and that, practically speaking, would mean that a treifa is not yoledes. And if that's the case, so then there's no you can't talk about a Meimar who makes an allowance is regarding the Shichala Kamo and then a Shichala Basra. As far as a Ravina is concerned, since Trefa is Eino Yoledes, there's no such thing as a Shichala Basra, a second, or a what the Gemara said on the top line, Mikan V'Elich, subsequent eggs. There are no subsequent eggs that a chicken that's a Trefa would be Yoledes. So Ravina would not learn Ameimar as making a distinction between first batch and second batch, or second and onwards. Because, once again, as far as Ravina is concerned, there would be no Shichala Basra, continuation of eggs, if the mother is a Trefa. Therefore, Umasni Lo L'Dameir Bahai Lishna, Ravina, in presenting Ameimar, would present him as follows. Omar Ameimar, Hani Bei De Sofek Trefa, eggs that come from a hen, a mother that you don't know whether it was a trefa, whether the mother was actually a trefa. And cases like that involve chickens that experienced impact or some other cause that makes it such that you don't know whether it's an actual trefa or not. So we'll talk about that. That's what Ameimar talks about. And he says, in a case like that of an animal, a hen, that's a sofek trefa, the shichala kamo mashina lehu, the initial batch of eggs that comes after the hen experienced some type of, let's say, impact is one of the examples that creates sofek trefa, mashina lehu, we literally delay them. In other words, we set those eggs aside. If this hen continues to produce additional batches of eggs, then the original batch we will see was mutter. Why? Because if the hen is capable of producing new eggs after it had become a trefa, it shows us that it really was never a trefa, because a trefa mamish is eino yoledes. So if a chicken concerning whom we had doubts continues to produce eggs, it shows us that the original eggs were kosher, because that the chicken was never a trefa. The Eloi, if it doesn't continue to produce additional batches of eggs, asiron, then that first batch of eggs that I set aside are forbidden, because the inability of the hen to continue to produce eggs shows us retroactively that this was a trefa. Esfei Rav Ashi L'Ameimar. Now, Rav Ashi raises a question on Ameimar according to the second approach that we are taking here, that trefa eino yoledes. So if that's the approach you're going to take, then we have to explain the following. Well, it says here that the beitza that comes from a trefa is aser because it continued its growth beiser, godla beiser. Well, so what do we see from here? We see that a trefa is yoledes. The Gemara answers no. Amri le hasam b'dishichla kamo. The case featured here of a beitza's trefa, how could you have a beitza from a trefa? It has to be the first batch of eggs, namely they were formed before the mother became a trefa. Well, im kain, if that be the case, then godla is not an appropriate expression. Gomra mi boyale, it should have said gomra. Gomra would have been a more accurate expression, indicating that in fact they were formed before the mother became a trefa. So the Gemara answers, look, if you're so focused on correct text, then tani gomra, then rather state or restate the text using the word gomra. Ela hodisnan. We have a source regarding not eggs, but rather behemos, animals. Vlad trefa. The Vlad from a trefa is forbidden to be used as a sacrifice. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Yikrav, you can offer it as a sacrifice. That's the source. B'mai ko miflegi. What is the point of controversy here? And it's pointed out, Rashi points out, but it must be that we're talking about a case of Ibra ubesof nitrefa. First it became pregnant, and then the trefus set in. So if that's the case, what's the underlying point of machlokas here? So the Gemara explains, Kishi'ibro ulbasof nitrefa, as we just said, it became pregnant and then became a trefa. Rabbi Lezer Safar, Rabbi Lezer, who is Machmir, holds, Ubar Yerech Imahu. The Ubar, the embryo, is like an extension of the mother. A Yerech Imo would be the thigh of the mother. And therefore, just like if a mother animal became a trefa, so it's all of its limbs become a trefa, so too do the offspring inside the mother. They are said to become trefa with the mother. Rabbi Yeshua Savar, Ubar Lav Yerech Imahu. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees and says that the Ubar, the offspring, is not viewed as an extension of the mother, but it exists as a separate entity. As a result of that, so even though it was inside the mother when the mother became a trefa, that doesn't affect the offspring because of what he holds. Rabbi Yeshua Savar, Ubar Lav Yerech Imahu. The ubar is not an extension or considered like a limb of the mother, but a separate entity. If this be the case, that like the Gemara just explained, so why do you feature the machlokas concerning korbanus? Why not teach it concerning a commoner, where according to Rabbi Lezer, a commoner would be forbidden, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, a commoner would be allowed. Answer, Lo diach hakoch Rabbi Yeshua. The reason this source featured the Mizbeach was to show us how far Rabbi Yeshua goes in saying that it's mutter, that he says Yikrav. V'levu behedyo, v'lo diach hakoch Rabbi Lezer. Why not present the machlokis regarding commoners to show us how far Rabbi Lezer goes in saying that it's forbidden? Namely, it's not forbidden only for the Mizbeach, but it's even for the lower standard of person consumption, human consumption. It's also as far as Rabbi Yeshua would be concerned, it's also show us how far well, let's just restate this last point. Why not set the machlokas up, the hedyot, to show us how far Rabbi Lezer goes in holding it's forbidden? That even for a hedyot, which experiences a lower standard, the animal, the offspring, will be usher. So the Gemara answers, Koach de tera adif lei. This Tana has a built-in agenda. He wants to show you, or it's more of greater significance to show you how far someone goes in being matir, in being allowing. And that's accomplished by setting up the source in featuring a korban, and shows how far Rabbi Yeshua goes in saying yikrav, how you can use it even as a korban. Umoidim vadai bebeitzas trefa shasura. Everyone agrees, including Rabbi Yeshua that we saw above, who was lenient, when it comes to the egg of a trefa, everyone holds it's forbidden. So under what circumstances will everyone hold it's forbidden? B'deshichala kama. That's the first batch of eggs. Mai taima. Why is that forbidden? Gufa hi. It's considered like the goof, of the hen itself. And therefore, if the hen became nitrefa and there was a batch of eggs inside that hen, we say that the eggs also became trefos. V'hilchasa b'zochar kol shnei masar chodesh. Here the Gemara rules regarding cases of sofek trefa. If you want to know how to deal with sofek trefos, you leave the animal concerning whom the sofek arose. You keep it aside for 12 months. If it continues living after 12 months, it's a sign that it was never a real trefa. B'nekeva, if you're dealing with a female animal, kol she'ena yoledes, any animal that's incapable of procreating, that is a that would be a trefa. In other words, if you see a female animal continuing to produce offspring, that would show you that it's not the female was not a trefa. Omar Rav Huna, here we start a new topic. In the outside margin, we've labeled this Nose, Bria, She'ein, Bo, Etzem, a creature that doesn't have bones in it, Lochoya, Yosemi, Beis Chodesh, won't live more than 12 months. The example of that would be something like worms. Those are creatures that don't have bones in them. Omar Rav Huna, the Gemara continues, Kol Bria She'ein Bo Etzem, any creature that doesn't have a bone in it, Eino Miskayim Yosur Miyud Beis Chodesh, won't last more than 12 months. Omar, in other words, its life expectancy is 12 months. Omar Rav Papa Shma Mino, Mino Rav Huna, we can conclude from what Rav Huna says, Hodim Shmuel, that which Shmuel teaches, Kishus Shizliya Be'eve Asura, Kishus is a type of vegetation that became wormy while it was still attached. So the worms that come from plants or from vegetables that are still attached to the ground, those are also because the fact that the worm existed in this attached vegetable, it's considered as if the worm slithered around on the ground. That's called Sheretz Ha'aretz. And that is the type of sheretz, this creature, varmint, if you will, that is forbidden. So if it squirmed around this worm on the kishus while it was still attached, it's tantamount to the worm having been on the ground. And according to the Torah, the psukim, creatures that slither around on the ground are forbidden. Anomid beis, hani tamri dekada. Dates that one had kept in a jar, let us say for a long time. So if one stored dates in a jar for more than a year. So this source says, Hani tami dekado lebosa trese yarchi shosa sharian, worms that come from dates that were preserved in a jar for more than 12 months. And you see then, after the 12 months, worms that are slithering around or moving around, those worms are mutter. Because they could never have been slithering around on a plant that was still attached. Therefore, after 12 months, if you still see a worm slithering around, then you can rest assured that it came to being after the dates were already in the jar. As a result of that, we have to point out the worms are mutter to be eaten, because when the Torah forbids worms, it doesn't forbid worms across the board. It forbids worms for human consumption only if they were on the ground or on a vegetation that's attached to the ground. Omar Rav, less boka bar yoma. Boka is a type of fly. Could be a flea, some type of gnat, whatever it is, it's a type of zvuv that, according to Rav, you won't find a boka that's a full day in age. In other words, they have a very limited life expectancy. The less didva bar shosa, there's no, didva is a zvuv, a fly. There's no fly that lasts a year. Amalei Rav Papa Labaye. Now, we have a long question marking that accompanies this piece of Gemara. You can see a kuf that's encircled to the left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical descending dashed line, which leads into a long answer that will follow. Before learning the Gemara, let's just take note of the long question marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You see a kuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, followed by a tuf that is encircled also with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating a teretz, an answer. So it was just reported that these flying insects won't last. One is not more than a day, and the other more than a year. This little story that follows indicates otherwise. Amalei Rav Papa Labaye, V'ho Amri Inshi. There is a saying amongst people, Shev Shoni Imra Baksa Mibaka. For 7 years, the Baksa, we saw that featured we'll just say the Baksa is a female version of a Baka. So she rebelled, the female fly rebelled against her male husband, the Omro Lei, and she said as follows, Chazise Labar Mechuza, you saw a man from Mechuza, the Socha B'maya, who took a swim, who swam, the Solik, he got out of the water, the Ichrich B'sdinin, and he then wrapped himself in sheets, the Osivas Olei, and then you, she's talking to her
her mosquito husband, and says, and then you sat on him, umotzitz minei, and then you sucked his blood, v'lo hodat li, and you didn't tell me about it. In other words, you didn't give me a chance to share in that blood-sucking experience. From this little story, we see that which we've dashed underlined for emphasis purposes, that these little creatures, these insects, can last 7 years. And prior to this, when speaking about the boka, we saw he doesn't last more than a day. So the Abaye answers, Omar Lei, this is Abaye's response. He says, according to you that are asking from this common saying of people regarding these flies or indoor mosquitoes, what about the following? It says, Shisin moni parzalo tolu le laboka bakurnise. 60 moni is a type of weight. Let us say whatever it is, it's a heavy weight relative to this mosquito. So 60 weights of parzel of metal one is able to suspend or hang from the antenna of the boka. Mi iko, is there such a thing? Of course not. Ihu gufe kama havi, the mosquito itself, how much does it weigh? Talking about something that weighs a small fraction of a gram. Ela, the money did who? When it speaks about the 60 money of parzala that you can suspend from its antenna, it's relative to the weight of the mosquito. In other words, many times its own weight can be suspended from its antenna. Hochanami, so too when we speak about the years of the mosquito above, Bishoni did who? A time frame relative to its years. Very often people talk about dogs that maybe a dog is, let's say, 10 years old, and they say this dog is almost 90. They're speaking about the 90-year-old dog in human terms, so that everything is prorated. So to over here, with regard to the 7 years of the life of the of this mosquito, it might be a matter of minutes, but relative to its lifespan of a day, so to talk about 7 years, you're talking about, if you say that, let's say, a person lives 70 years, so 7 years would be a tenth of its life expectancy. So if its life expectancy were, let us say, were 10 hours, so a tenth of that would be 1 hour. And then you would call it a 7-year-old mosquito. Tanan Hossam. We have a Tanaic source dealing with, from Maseches Bechoros, a Masechta that deals with the firstborn. And in that context, we often analyze, is the firstborn something that has a blemish on it or not? If it doesn't have a blemish, so then it's offered as a sacrifice. If it has a blemish, a mum, then it's not offered as a sacrifice. Let's make no mistake. When something is classified as a bal mum, it's restricted only as far as a sacrifice is concerned, but as far as being allowed to eat it, it would be mutter. So we have a source that says, behemo balas hei raglayim o she'en lo elo sholosh, a cow that has either 5 or 3 legs. Normal cow has 4. So this has either 5, an extra one, or 3, a missing one. Harei ze mum. That's a mum, and it's not acceptable as a sacrifice. Omer Rav Huna, lo yishanu elo shechoser v'yeser bayad. This teaching is limited, this teaching namely, that it's considered a blemish but would be allowed for a commoner to eat, that's only if the extra limb, extra leg, or missing leg is in the four legs. The yad is the front legs of the animal. Avol choser v'yeser beregel, if the missing or extra is with regard to the hind legs, trefa nami havio, that would make it even into a trefa, namely not just restricted as a sacrifice, but also restricted for commoner benefit. My taima, why is that the case? Answer, kol yeser kenotel domi. Anything that's extra is viewed as if it's missing. So that when you're dealing with the hind legs, we know that if a yerech, of a nital yerech,
if the thigh of an animal is missing, we know that that's a trefa. So therefore, along those lines, if you have an extra thigh, an extra leg that is, called yeser is as if it were missing, and hence called or classified as a trefa.
As we go on in the Gemara, we should take note of the topic heading in the outside margin. We have noted that we're discussing now kol yeser kenotel domi. That which is extra is viewed as if it's not there. We have some diamonds that appear now, and this we have explained under the Mivneh heading, mikrim, cases, she donu bohem ihavyan yeser kenotel olo. Some cases where there appears to be something extra in the anatomy of an animal. Are we going to say that it's considered as if it's missing? The Gemara. Hahi chiyusa dehavala tarti sanyo divi. There was an animal, chiyusa type of an animal, that had in it two sanyo divi. The sanyo divi, if you look in the book of illustrations that we have been recommending one should have before learning this perek, the book Sichas Chulin. So you'll see on the page appropriate for this sugya on daf, namely nun, for the page that corresponds to Nun Ches Amud Beis, a diagram, a picture of this. This is part of the digestive system, the Sanyo Divi, and if it has two of these, that's the case that was now Asua le Ravino v'torfa mid Ravuna. It was brought to Ravino's attention, and he declared it to be kosher, being a trefa based on Rav Huna's teaching. Rav Huna's teaching we had dashed, underlined just two lines above, of kol yeser kenotel domi. If something is extra, it's as if it's not there. So that we would basically be describing an animal that is lacking sanyo divi. It's lacking that organ. However, the ishavchon lehadodi kshera. There may appear to be two, however, if one pours into the other, in other words, there's a point at which the sanyo divi are connected, then it's kosher. Hahi gufsa. Gufsa is a tube, a pipe or a tube. Dehave nafkumi be kosi luhuvlila. That extended from the beis hakosas to the hemsis. These are two parts of the stomach system of a cow. We've discussed these numerous times in the past, the beis hakosas and the huvlilo or the hemsis. In this case, we're talking about a tube that one might think is normally not there, is extending from the beis hakosas to the huvlilo. Sova Ravashi the mitrefa. Ravashi intended to declare this a trefa, meaning it's something that appears to be extra, and therefore it's no good. Amale Ravhuna mor bar chia le Ravashi. So Ravhuna addresses Ravashi. This is not the same Ravhuna as quoted above, but it's a later generation Ravhuna. He says, Kol hani chivi baraisa hachi islehu. Chivi are animals, creatures, baraisa that live in the outdoors. They outdoor kosher variety creatures have this phenomenon of a tube extending from the beis hakosas to the hemsis. Hahu gufsa dahava ma'abro mibei kosi lekarsa. Also a case of a tube. However, in this case, it's extending from the beis hakosas to the keres. Once again, if you make reference to diagrams, you'll see the keres is another one of the stomachs in the stomach system of cows. Here the tube is extending from the beis hakosas to the keres. Sova marbar of ashi la'achshura. Based on what we just said in the case just before, with the beis hakosas and the hemsis, that it is kosher, so to this case, he wants to declare kosher. Omar le Rav Hoshaya. So Rav Hoshaya, in addressing Mor Rav Ashi, says, Otu kulu b'chado machiso machtinu, are all different kinds of trefos to be considered as one? Namely, literally, this expression means, are they all woven together? Not so. Hecho di itmar itmar, where it's stated explicitly as being a kosher, so there it's kosher. Hecho dolo itmar lo itmar, in a case where it's not stated explicitly as being kosher, and like with regard to the connection to between the beis hakosis to the keres, there's no statement that outdoor animals have these things, have this phenomenon. Therefore, it hasn't been stated. Therefore, you can't assume it to be kosher. We have a next few lines, we'll see a dotted frame around it. The basis of this marking is because we have something that's clearly Tanaic in origin, but it's not presented as a formal Tanaic source. So we're treating it with this almost frame form, dotted, dashed frame. Heyed noson bar shilo, rav tabochaya de tzipori lifnei rebi. Noson, who was the head of the slaughterers of Tzipori, Tzipori's name of a place, he said to Rebbe, he testified in the presence of Rebbe, Al Shnei B'nei Me'ayim Hayotzin Min HaBehema Ke'echod. Two B'nei Me'ayim are often explained as intestines that extend from an animal. That's Hayotzin Min HaBehema Ke'echod Shehi Trefa. The Rashi says Hayotzin Mebehemo Ke'echod De Islo Tarti Haduri De Kanto. It has two intestines. The Yotzin Min HaKeva Ze Barosha Veze Be'emtza, that are extending from the Keva. The Keva is the from the one of the stomachs in the digestive process or digestive stomach system. It has two intestines extending it, one from the head of it and one from the middle of it. Shehi trefa. So this is Nosson said to Rebbe that case would be a trefa. Ukenegdon be'oif kshera. And the parallel case in birds would be kosher. Because in the case of birds, sometimes they develop with this double intestine formation. That we declare it a trefa by a behema, that's if it's coming from the keva from two different spots. Avol yoitzin b'mokom echad, if they come, they extend from the keva next to each other. Rashi uses expression smuchim zeloze, next to each other. V'kolin ad ke'etzba k'shera. And they kolin ad ketzba. Rashi says v'choizrin u'mischabrin besoch rochav etzba. Translating Rashi would be, and they rejoin within a finger width. In other words, they extend as two tubes next to each other, coming from the keva, and within a finger width they rejoin, they merge into one. That's kosher. That's the we'll call it the testimony of Noson Bar Shilo in Rebbe's presence. Now, regarding what we just learned, Pligi Ba Rav Ami Rav Asi, we said that where they come, they extend from one place, next to each other. Chan Omar, Hu the Hadri V'Arvi, one of them says, we can say it's kosher provided they rejoin. The other opinion says, even if they don't rejoin, the fact that they emerge from the keva next to each other, that seems to be sufficient. So, in analyzing these two opinions that we've underlined, Chad Omar and Chad Omar, the Gemara says, Bishlo Laman de Omar, Hu de Hajri v'Arvi, according to that approach, the first approach, that it's kosher provided they rejoin, Hainu dikotoni ad ke'etzba. Then the expression two lines above, at the end of that framed source, makes sense. Namely, that within a finger width of extension from the keva, they rejoin, they merged into one, then the expression ad ke'etzba makes sense. Elolamando, marfagavdolo hadri, the arvi, my ad ke'etzba, according to the second approach, that it's kosher even if they don't rejoin, they don't merge together. So then, what does ad ke'etzba mean? Answer, ad ke'etzba mi lamato. Let's explain this by looking at the Rashi. Rashi says, mi lamato, somuch l'nekev horei mischabrin. That these two tubes, that the intestines that emerged from the keva, they emerged as separate tubes next to each other. They continued that way all the way till the point of exit from the animal. At that point, they mishavrim, they joined together, so creating a situation that the exiting of the feces of the solid waste came from one spot. Since they exit from one spot, that's enough for us to declare the animal kosher. Of course, this is according to the second opinion, the Chad Omar. Rav Yehuda Omar, Omer im nitlo hanoitzo psula. Now we continue with a new topic regarding a chicken lacking the notza, the fine feathers. Maybe we could explain it as the down that's close to its skin. So if it's missing the notza, it's considered a trefa, according to Rav Yehuda. Before going on in the Gemara, we have under our nosei heading in the outside margin, nitlo noitza shel of. Well, we're going to mention two topics, Be'inyan Pigul, regarding incorrect mindsets while offering a sacrifice. That's Pigul. And number two, Be'inyan Trefus, regarding that which is forbidden to eat. Turning to the Mivneh heading, because as we open the Gemara, we'll notice a house form. So under our Mivneh heading, we feature the house, and we're going to mention there, Machlokes Haim Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Shmuel Omru Dover Echad. We haven't seen Rabbi Shmuel yet, but we'll see it presented in the Gemara. We'll have a machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Rava, both of whom you see in house forms. Are they, these Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel, saying, agreeing with one another, saying one in the same thing? Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Shmuel Omru Dover Echad. Rabbi Yehuda Hode Amoran. Rabbi Yehuda, we already stated, he spoke about the lacking of the notza making the bird into a trefa. Rabbi Shmuel Desnan. Rabbi Shmuel speaks on a different topic regarding pigol. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Hanotza Mitzarefes. In order for something, a sacrifice, to be declared pigol, it would mean that while you are processing the sacrifice, let us say, for example, while you're slaughtering an animal, or in this case, you're doing malika to a bird offering, you have kavona to eat a kezias of a chatas of, and the kezias that you intend to eat is made up of bird chatas of meat and notza and down feathers, altogether equaling a kezias, an olive quantity. So Rabbi Shmuel says that the notza is mitztaref. So we see from Rabbi Shmuel that the notza is viewed as if it were flesh of the bird. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, just like missing flesh makes it into a gluda. Gluda is an animal that's been skinned, and that's one of those classified as a treif, an animal. It's a live animal, but missing its skin. He therefore considers the notza like the skin of the animal. Rabbi Shmuel also seems to classify the notza as part of the skin of the bird, and as such, it could, if you have an incorrect thought regarding eating it, it would make it into pigul. We should point out that pigul concerns incorrect thoughts concerning things that one would eat. Omar Rava. Rava, though, disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan's approach. Dilma loyhi. Maybe it's not accurate to make this parallel between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yishmael. Ad kan lo kumar Rabbi Yehuda hocha. It could be that Rabbi Yehuda said his din, that the notza is considered like the flesh, elo le'inyan trefa, only with regard to this realm called trefa, the leko midi de megin ole, because a bird lacking its notza has nothing to protect it. And therefore, since it's lacking all protection, it's therefore considered a trefa. Avale inyan ifguli, but with regard to pigul, it could be kirabonon sviro le, that Rabbi Yehuda over here would agree with the Rabbonon over there with Rabbi Shmuel, and would say that the notza is not mitzarif, because the notza is not viewed as chatas of meat. Ve'ad kan lo kom Rabbi Shmuel hasam, and it could be that Rabbi Shmuel, who viewed the notza as or, elo le'inyan ifguli, only with regard to pigul, avo le'inyan trefa, but as far as viewing the notza as a gluda, meaning the lack of notza as if it's skinned, aguni lo megin. Rabbi Yishmael will tell you that it doesn't serve as a protection in the first place, so that the lack of it doesn't make it into a gluda. the Mishnah. The Mishnah here has a list of different problems, and the question is, do these problems create trefus or prohibition or not? Achuzas hadam. This is a case of an animal that needs to be bloodled. It's sickly. V'hameushenes. It seems to have been exposed to smoke inhalation, we can call it. V'hametsunenes. Sinun is a sickness as a result of exposure to cold. V'sheochla hardufni, or it ate hardufni, which Rashi calls sam hamovis lebehema. It's poison that is poisonous to animals. V'sheochla tsoyas tarnegolim, or you have an animal that ate the waste, the defecation of chickens. Oy sheshosa mayim horoim, or it drank mayim egulim, water that was left exposed, which we generally say creates a certain doubt or fear that maybe it was drunk from by a venomous creature, thereby depositing its venom in it. That's mayim horoim, exposed water. Kshera. Any of these things, if it happened to an animal, it doesn't affect the kashrus of the animal, and therefore it remains kosher. Ochlo sam hamoves. If an animal ate, however, poison that could kill a human being, oishi kisha nachash, or it was bitten by a snake, muteres mishum trefa v'asura mishum sakonas nefashis. The animal is not made into a trefa because of these things. However, these last points would make the animal usher for consumption because of the sakonas nefashis element. The meat of these animals has in it poison that could kill a person. Therefore, one is not allowed to eat animals that ate sam hamoves or were bitten by snakes because of the danger that it poses. The topic heading for our Gemara is essentially like the Mishnah's Behemos She'ochla Dvorim Hamar Ilim. We'll talk about animals that ate things that are poisonous. Omar Shmuel, Hil'ita Shiltis Trefa. Hil'ita is an expression of feeding an animal. If an animal is fed Shiltis, it makes it into a Trefa. Mai Taimo, why is that? The Minkeva Luhu Maine. The Shiltis is capable of penetrating or making holes in the intestines of an animal. Mosiv Rav Shizvi. Well, Rav Shizvi raises a question from our Mishnah. And in this frame, we'll see our Mishnah quoted, and we will be adding the appropriate markings to help in the Hemshech and the continuation of the Gemara. The source says, Achuzas Adam, Vamu Shenes, V'sheochlo Hardufni, V'sheochlo Tsoas Tarnagolim, V'sheosu Mayim Oroim, Hil'ito Tio Chiltis. We should correct ourselves because this is really not a direct quote from our Mishnah, though it contains a lot of the Mishnah information. It's a Tanaic source, and we're just again correcting ourselves. We see here things that we did not see in the Mishnah. If it was fed hil'ita tia chiltis upilpilin, if it was fed chiltis or pilpilin, or tia chiltis or pilpilin, ochlo sam hamoves kshera. Hikisha nachash o shenoshcha kelev shoita. If it was bitten by a snake or a sick dog, possibly a dog having rabies, muteres mishum trefa vasur mishum sakonis nefashis. The last cases would be not classified as trefa, but still forbidden to eat because of the present danger. The Gemara now takes stock of what we saw in this source with that which we've learned before. Kashya chiltis achiltis. We will notice we see a contradiction regarding chiltis. So let's see momentarily. In this source we just read in the frame, chiltis was ruled to be something that if the animal ate chiltis, kshera. When you look at Shmuel's comment on chiltis, you see him saying trefa. So that's a problem. And kashya samamoves and samamoves, we've dashed underlined samamoves here in the Tanaic source, samamoves, and it says kshera. Shneira meaning seemingly no problem. And in the Mishnah, we had Samamoves, which we dashed underline, and it said there, Asura, that it's Osir to eat it. That is a second problem. So the Gemara answers, Chiltis Achiltis lo kashya. Regarding the Chiltis issue, there is no contradiction. Kan be'olin, kan be'kreten. The Chiltis plant has leaves, and it also has kreten types of granular-like substance that is found on this plant as well. So one will cause it to become trefa, and the other not. Samamoves asamamoves lokashya. Regarding the contradiction between Mishnah and Tanaic source quoted in the Gemara on the topic of samamoves lokashya, there is no contradiction either. Ha dida, the brisa that said the animal is kosher is dida would be a samamov poison to animals. Ha de adam, something that's poisonous to people. Since we're talking about a person eating the meat, so if it ate animal poison and it hasn't died yet, so the animal poison doesn't pose a danger to a person. Therefore, if you shecht the animal, you can eat it. However, if it's human poison that the animal ate, that poses a danger to a person, and therefore, that's where you saw, if it ate samamomis, as it said in the Mishnah, that's osir. The Gemara goes on, Sam Hamoves de Behemo, Hainu Hardufni. We saw in the Mishnah, or more accurately, in the Brisa, we saw Sam Hamoves as being, if it ate that, it's kosher. It also said in the same source, Hardufni. Well, Hardufni is also a Sam Hamoves. So the Gemara answers, Tre Gavni Samamoves. The Tanaic source is featuring two types of Samamoves. That one is called here Dufni, and the other is referred to as Samamoves. My Ta. We have a little arrow to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text, helping you find where Ta was mentioned, and you see it a few lines up, another arrow also to the left hand side. The Gemara is asking, what is Ta? Omar Rav Yehuda, Ikra de Marirta. It's the root of a marirta plant. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.